our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Sorrow share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And heavy laden and come.
Good morning, Fort Garrett. It's Sunday, and we're so glad you turned on your radio. But it's also Grandparents' Day. Still so the Doorsbachers would like to wish all grandparents a very, very happy day. Now, last week, we only had 5 grandchildren and 6 fur babies. But as of 3 o'clock last week, we gained 2 more. So we now have 7 grandchildren
and
6 fur babies.
2 of them happen to be teenagers. And it was the easy way.
And we're very happy that our family has grown. But more importantly, we want to celebrate grandparents. They hold many, many stories that we need to take the time and listen to. But today we're going to worship. It's the best day of its kind. No matter what it's doing outside, it's the best. We're glad you joined us. Call up somebody and have them turn the radio.
We'll welcome you all to the broadcast of Our Savior Lutheran. It is being simulcast as well through electronic devices, cell phones, pads, and computers. So you can pull that out if you don't have a radio, and you can listen to this digitally live on your device. Then tomorrow afternoon, it'll be broadcasted, maybe even this evening, podcast, WPHM.net, and you'll hear it for the next several weeks. And that truly is a gift of God. Our radio this day is sponsored in memory of Donna Taylor's husband, Roger Taylor. This last week had a sad day, a remembrance of the fourth anniversary of Roger's passing, and a hard day for Donna. Thank you, Donna, for the sponsorship and Roger's memory of this radio broadcast. Next week, Mary Patterson blesses us, honoring Jeremy and grandson and Michaela's wedding anniversary here from our Savior at this time of the year in a couple years gone by. So thank you very much, anticipating Mary for next Sunday.
Has it really been that long?
I know.
Judy Avers and Tony Gaines does it September 27th, and we'll give you a rest of that during the offering announcement. So we're glad you're here on this Sunday, September 13th, and we have our opening hymn. Gonna do the invocation.
Invocation.
Oh, because I type it, it's like the Bible to
me. It is.
I know.
You do not throw me off.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And now it's time for the opening gathering hymn, Hope.
That's how I like it.
Dolly Parton has entered our studio. Wings of a Dove. We're going to clean the disc. This happened once yesterday, and when we cleaned it, it worked miraculously the way it was supposed to.
Yes, it did.
See how it does now. I hate it when things like this happen. God deserves the best. We humans are imperfect. And mechanically, everything's imperfect. It's rebooting. Oops, gonna press. Look at that, it's perfect.
When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak and the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, God doesn't forget us. He sends us His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a in the usual way. And when it was done, God blessed His Son. He sent Him His love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove.
Thank you, Dolly, for visiting us today. our confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us in all creation. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another through cyber. Faithful God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways.
We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and his resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. So led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world.
Amen.
Hymn of praise for this day is Holy, 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 sung by Amy Grant, who's just entered the studio.
Holy, holy, holy.
God, you are truly worthy of our praise. We continue. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, merciful judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The readings, the first reading is from Genesis, chapter 50, selected verses. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us
and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did him. So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in a place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is from 103. Selected verses. The antiphon is, "Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits,
who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's?
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever.
You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you.
As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
Our second lesson comes from Romans Chapter 14. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own God that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who deserve, who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in the honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or your sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Good job, Mama Cheryl.
The gospel for this day is Matthew's gospel, 18th chapter, verse 21. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and he said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church should sin against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times. Jesus said to Peter, not seven times, but I'm going to tell you, 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay that immense amount of money, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife, his children, and all his possessions, so that some kind of incremental payment could be made. So the slave fell on his knees before his master king, saying, have patience with me, I'll pay you everything. So out of pity for this slave, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the entire debt. Did not just say make an installment, he forgave the entire 10,000 talents. But that same slave, as he went out, he came upon his fellow slaves who owed him just a tiny bit, like 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay me what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And so they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then the Lord summoned this wicked servant and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? So in anger, the Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay the entire debt. Hear the punchline, Jesus says. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you. If you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart, this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, which gives us ultimate peace through Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, the lessons of the day. They're convicting of the one who preaches, a la me, and for the one who listens, a la you. We're all under the same sentence. Forgiveness, grudges, getting even, revenge, retribution. That's the topic. I take the risk, and I do it in-house periodically. If you just close your eyes or you're in your own home, just pause for a moment of silence and think about unfinished business with the people of your life. Unfinished business, grudges, broken bridges, no longer talking, don't communicate, feel no remorse or regret, just going on, writing them out of our lives. You can't be much more relevant to life than the scriptures. A lot of times people's image of scripture is, it's so otherworldly, I don't see its relevance. It's because they never read it, never applied it, never sought, not discerned, not prayed for guidance. How does this speak to me? What is God's word about forgiveness? Where does it come from? And what is it meant for in my life? Not my neighbor's life, my life. Now we're talking turkey. A lot of times things happen in our youthfulness and grudges are formed. Children carry grudges generations and decades with their parents, even to the grave. Families, siblings, have grudges against each other, which go decades and sometimes culminating with the death of the parents, as it did in the Old Testament reading. We're going to talk about that momentarily. I've had many, doing over 900 funerals in town and another 400 or 500 out of town and other places I've served, where families have not talked to each other, and here we are in the same space in a funeral hall, and one side of the family sitting on one side of the viewing area, and the other side sitting over on their side, and neither the twain shall meet. It really does happen at funerals. I had three sisters come up to me and said, you know, this sister, we haven't talked to in 30 years. I said, I'll pray that this can, the message I give will be a reconciling message. That's the gospel, reconciling each other to one another. Okay, but it's not going to work, Pastor. When the service was done, there was a melting of an iceberg bigger than any climate dysfunction could do, and faster. The four sisters came together and embraced each other. And they spoke forgiveness to one another. That's not my doing. That's God's word, doing it in the spirit in our hearts. It's that realization that this is extremely practical. The divisions that have separated us in our earthly things and our perceptions, we were right, they're wrong, and all the name-calling and racial kinds of things and historical divisions. Come on. Can we just get along? Everybody get together. Got to smile on your brother. Got to be reconciled to one another, which only the blood of Jesus Christ makes possible. Not goodwill, not good intentions, not platitudes. I'm sorry, and we don't mean it when we say it. But from our heart, Jesus says. Over the years of pastoral ministry, working with people and their personal issues, I found practical advice through some Roman Catholic priests who wrote books, Jesuit priests who have a history of the centuries of being fairly conservative, talking about forgiveness is a process, like death and dying and grieving. You want to deny that it really hurt, and then when you experience the pain, you kind of get angry. Then you want to forget about it. You're going to bargain, if they do this, then I'll do that. And it's like, get over it. Get over yourself. We all have done things wrong, even if we don't see what we did. Listen to their story and you'll hear what you did. By thought, word, and deed, we sin against God and against each other. We understand that we are all under it, and if we take this super pious attitude, I'm right, and they come squirming back to me, oh good Lord. Joseph would have had his brothers on the ground groveling, but he didn't. He said, you meant it evil, no denying it, but God used it for good. I'm not going to seek revenge. See, not to forgive is not to forget. I want to change people's attitude, what the culture says. You forget it. It's not safe sometimes if you've been abused. If you're a person who's been a victim, if you've been racial, sexual, whatever abuse has occurred in your life, you shouldn't forget everything because you need a protection screen to protect yourself from other people who are evil, sinners. But to forgive is to not to seek revenge. To do good for those who don't do good to you. By so doing, if you remember the gospel 3 weeks ago, Jesus says you heap coals on the other people's head because you're trying to show grace. And if they don't accept it, then let the blood be on their hands, not yours. That's how to get along. Remember this scriptures it just said a week or two ago, saying, as much as it is possible for you, live at peace with other people. Take that practically to the streets of the United States, whether it's Portland, Oregon, whether it's inner city Detroit, whether it's somewhere in New York City, whether it's in Minneapolis, whether it's Atlanta, Georgia, or right outside your door sill. We don't have peace. We don't even have peace inside our doors. We have conflict, division, misunderstandings, and sin. But where grace abounds more fully, we should be grace-filled people towards those around us, to live in a state of forgiveness. So you take the first reading, real quick, story of Joseph. In our Bible study on Wednesday, I explained to them a historical background to this. If you remember, Joseph, son of Jacob having 12 sons, Benjamin after Joseph. Joseph was a cocky, arrogant brother, beloved son and spoiled of his father, Jacob. And his brothers wanted to do him dirt and wanted to kill him, but if they could make money, we're going to make money and sell him into slavery. Anyways, understand that there's probably 3, 4, 5 decades that Joseph could have felt self-pity for what his brothers did to him, and he could have just walked in that mire and muck and never wanted to approach his brothers again. But he didn't develop the hard heart that so many of us do. Rigid. We're right, you're wrong. Melt our hearts, Lord. Tenderize our hearts to your grace. So now Joseph is standing as Lord, second in command to Pharaoh over the wealth of Egypt. His brothers just experienced dad's death, and now the hammer is going to climb down on them. Certainly, if he was like them, he would punish them. He surprised them with the God of grace of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So consequently, he says, you want me to spare you and treat you like normal? I'm going to tell you, I'm not doing it because you deserved it, you earned it, or you said the magic words. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. That's humility.
If you don't have humility with God, you don't know God. Micah 6:8. What are we to do as Son of Man? What does God require of you? Walk humbly with your God. Love kindness. Do justice. Then you got the formula of what God wants. Humbleness, kindness, and justice. That's the formula. Not this egotistical, narcissistic attitude that says, you come to me, I don't go to you. Then you go to the second reading. Paul gives instruction to the believers. See, a lot of times we think when we're Christians, we don't sin anymore. That's a heresy. That's not scripture. And I know I've dealt with people who try to quote it. No, if you're a Christian, you don't sin anymore. Oh, give me a break. Luther was right 500 years ago. Catch up. We are both a sinner and a saint, but we're not just a saint. No, we do sin. The early church found it out. They had conflicts at the wazoo, as did Joseph's family and Jacob's family. They had major separations and conflicts, as does our family, your family, every family on earth. Book of Genesis is full of stories of people quabbling and Cain killing his brother. Jeez. These are people who know the Lord God. Yeah, but they don't honor. So too it is with us. Anyways, in the household of faith, there are divisions. There are things that separate us from one another. Consequently, when we're dealing with the book of Romans, Paul goes on to say, just don't welcome people so you can make fun of them. Welcome them sincerely. Don't argue with them. Understand them. Respect them. If they honor certain days, like was said by Scott last week about Sabbath, under Sabbath, some people do it on Sundays, some do it on Saturdays, some do it on Mondays. It's not the day, it's that you honor God that day and honor God's word every day of your life. Don't avoid it. Do devotionals. Oh, crack open that Bible. You're going to read something, read the word. Prove yourself true in the Word of God, not just nonfiction or biographic or historical documents. Consequently, in the process of dealing with that reality of working with people, families, and congregations, also comes up the question about eating. Oh, I'm a vegan. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. Oh, I like red meat. The more, the better. Your attitude tends to puff you up and think you're superior to your brother. Read the book of Corinthians. Paul is dealing with the church in schism. That means division. Oh, little bit of knowledge puffs you up and you think you're superior to your neighbor. Not so in the body of Christ, which is his church. You're wrong, and there's no way you're right. You're wrong. Sin divides. Grace restores. So don't pass judgment on one another. That gets always into trouble, right? There's only one judge, we're reminded by Paul. It's the Lord God. Get over it. The universe has already been claimed by another one, not you. You do not have every right and privilege that comes with being holy and divine. You don't live for yourself. Get empty yourself. So when it comes time for you to die, you're not dying to yourself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we're still possession of the Lord. I have a t-shirt in my 100-plus collection of Christian t-shirts. It says, property of God. Yes, I am God's. So then, whether we live, we die, we are the Lord's. So it talks about Christ died. He lived again so that we can live again. So don't put judgments on brothers and sisters. Hey, they're not the true Christian. Oh, that irritates me as for 50 years. Lutherans are better than Catholics. Catholics are better than Lutherans. Methodists are better. Oh, come on. Nothing would make Satan happier than to see the Church of Jesus Christ in schism. This last week, a smile came on my face. A gal called from the community. She's listening now. And what the opening hymn prelude that Scott chose was from a group called Rejoice, which are members from
Ross
Bible Church. Thank you, Cheryl. And she identified herself. I thought maybe we're in copyright trouble, but it wasn't yet. She says, I listen to you every Sunday, Pastor. I set my clock radio to wake up with Our Savior's broadcast. And she says, I've heard Lutheran pastors, but you're different. You preach the gospel. I said, that's because I'm a kingdom pastor. I'm not just a Lutheran pastor. God is inviting people to his kingdom, not just to a Lutheran church. If that's offensive to you, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. If you grasp the gospel, you know that's what we're in the business or the mission of doing, reaching people for Christ, not for Martin Luther. So shout out to her who called me and made me smile. She recognized that we are one, whether it's Ross Bible, whether it's Pentecostal, whether it's Catholic, Episcopalian, United Church of Christ, all of which we have fellowship with and share in the mutual ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that each of us, at the end of Paul's words, are accountable to God. I always say to people in sermons while we're in-house, look left and right. Do not compare yourself to those people. Look upward, and that's the one you have to answer to, the Lord God Almighty. Don't judge. Have respect for other people. Matthew's Gospel. Peter. Now, 4 weeks ago, he made this immense confession of faith. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Peter. Oh, Spirit of God has revealed this to you. It's not human intellect. It's not wisdom. It's not philosophy. It's God. You have revealed the truth as to who I am, Son of God. But then he's the one who gets chintzy. Now, understand, he is trying to be generous. Seven times I should forgive. The rabbinic law of first century was maybe once you can forgive a person. After that, bring down the hammer of the law and bring judgment. So Peter suggests seven. That's pretty lenient. Holy, divine number, complete, like the creation and the day of rest, Sabbath. Seven. Candlesticks in a church, seven. Come on, Peter, seven. No, Peter. Seven's inadequate. Jesus said, 70 times 7. Now it's not a literal number, 491, and on your calculator and your cell phone, you track it, and it's 492. Now get them. Not at all. Jesus was being generous. 70, the number 7, times 10, times another 7. Symbolic, not literal. Extravagant. Absolutely. Because your Father in heaven has been extravagant for you. And Jesus tells him a story. Somehow divine truths are best explained in a story, and you get the punch of what the Lord is saying to us. In this parable, as we've seen through the season of Matthew since Advent last year, he talks about a servant who's been forgiven 10,000 talents. That's roughly 10,000 times each talent is worth 1,000 denarii, which is a day's wages, so enormous indebtedness. And he wasn't refinancing, he wasn't deferring his payments, he was forgiven all payments. You don't have to do anything for your sins to get God to forgive you. It's not on a time payment plan, it's forgiveness complete. And if that doesn't make you filled with gratitude, you don't understand your sin and how much he's done for us. God's grace has wiped the account, not just deferred it to a judgment day. And likewise, we are to have the same gracious spirit with our fellow people who are indebted to us, as Jesus says in the parable. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you, I could see the finger pointing on the Master's hand, if you do not forgive your brother, Matthew, if you don't forgive your brother, Peter, James, John, over there, if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, don't come and knock in at God's door to forgive you. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, help us to live those words in faithfulness and truth. Amen.
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 And so our service continues as we hear our hymn of the day, most apparent. I have hundreds of CDs of my 320 in my collection of Amazing Grace. This is a unique one by the Gaithers. I hope you like this version, Amazing Grace.
Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, lead us in our prayers.
Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. You welcome us when we are weak in faith. Uphold your church throughout the world. Make it a place of welcome. Strengthen faith through Bible studies in Sunday schools, confirmation classes, and youth ministries. Nurture new ministries of education and growth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The heights of the heavens show us the vastness of your steadfast love. Have compassion on your creation, where human selfishness has brought ruin and destruction. We look to you to heal, renew, and redeem your world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make your ways known to the nations. Speak kindness to our bitter grudges. Settle our hearts when we want to settle accounts with violence. Bless our leaders with patience and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring healing and justice wherever harm is dealt. Provide vindication for all who are oppressed. Free victims of human trafficking and forced labor. Deliver all who are bound by debt. Feed all who hunger and guard refugees fleeing famine, poverty, and war. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach us to forgive. Remind us that we do not always accuse us. Still our tongues when we are tempted to pass judgment and argue over opinions. Make this congregation a community of mercy for one another and for all our neighbors.
Yes.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Whether we live or whether we die, we are yours. We thank you for those who have showed us faithfulness, for the knees that taught us how to bow to you in tongues that taught us to praise you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, including our prayers for those among us, Joe Kofart, his wife Elvira, Donna Taylor, Ray Shinosky, Mary Boulderston, recovering from second eye surgery, Ken Perry's mother, Gertrude, healing from a fracture. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Together we pray as our Lord has guided us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And in the house we would normally receive our offering. Encourage you to make out your gifts to our Savior, your tithes and offerings to the ministry. We've had some trustees who have been marvelous work inside for us, healing our stair glides that were down this last week, addressing plumbing issues and other issues around this facility. Even though we're closed, don't think we are free of bills. We have all the staples you have at your house too. So support your local church, and if you belong to somewhere else, support them for the kingdom of God. Some announcements, try to make them quick. I was thinking over the last couple of weeks how we are a blessed people at our Savior. Not only do we have a radio broadcast since 1938, so for 83 years, we've been given thanks for that. But then 5 years ago, we entered this cyber world. We have a simulcast, and some of you are listening to us on WPHM.net, simulcast. And some of you will pick us up on a podcast. So there, you have a choice every week for the last 5 years. If you haven't used it, shame on you, but use it every week. We don't have to go to Facebook. We don't have to do the things that people didn't have, the advantages we've been afforded. Use them. You can choose Radio 1380 WPHM. You can choose simulcast www.wphm.net and wphm.net for the podcast. Thank you, WPHM, for giving us and being an instrument of God's grace to us. Also, want to kind of point out that I have been doing for these 7 months Facebook snippets. Yesterday, I put one up, actually two up, of Hope and I in-house for a rehearsal, playing hymns in the background. 60 seconds, maybe 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes. We've already gotten over 300 people watching that in less than 24 hours. I don't know that many listen to us on radio or simulcast or podcast because they can't count it. But I can tell you by counting how many have listened to it. So go to our Facebook page, Our Savior. We are represented there for the gospel of Christ. You will see us there. Last thing kind of want to remind you of, God has been the one who has seen ahead for us. And certainly he has given us the blessings of technology in our ministry. Let us recommend that to other people. Please, we are here. How long we're here, that's the age-old question. I get asked it about 30 to 40 times a week. The answer is nobody knows. How safe is safe? How good is good? How do we know when? All we can do as humans in this world that only God knows the end and around the bends is wait on the Lord. David said 150 times in the Psalms. Be of good cheer. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. He will provide a way. So with that in mind, we have our offering hymn.
Actually, we'll do the offering prayer due to time.
Okay, offering prayer. Thank you, Hope.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink. And send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world. Through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we do an offering hymn or sending hymn?
Offering hymn.
Yeah, we change things. Just give it a minute.
Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
We thank you so much for all that you have given to us.
Yes.
We thank you for time, for people, for prayers. Remember, our phones are on.
Yes.
The mail still gets delivered. Keep us in your hearts and your prayers, and we'll hold you all.
We'll lift you
up in prayer. The Dorsbacher family loves you, and we're sending God's love to you.
God bless America, land that
I love. I invite you to our Wednesday morning class at 10 o'clock.
And
bring it back up.
Jimmy
Fortune.
Through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Don't forget those that suffered on 9/11. Time has passed, but we must never, ever above.